Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Big Biz Show, featuring insight, analysis, and a lot of stuff that's none of your business.
Hold on. This is the Big Biz Show. I think it is their business.
Making the markets work for you. Here's the man with the plan, Sully.
I'm not sure we should keep that in it. Live from the Loft 100 Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you along today, Sully, Costa, and the day trader Quattro boys. Great to see you today.
The Claw.
Wow. Monsters of Rock. There you go. Was that you walking out of the shop with a shirt that wouldn't quite go together?
The sausage with legs. That was that was me. That was me.
The Greek god Mediocritus. Faticus.
Fatassimus.
Hey, first of all, great to see you. We have a big show today, and of course a number of great shows this week. But this company who we interview quite a bit, and we've depended on this person for sort of frontline news on how COVID and the COVID vaccinations are going, and the problem with how we have sort of tried to wrangle the pandemic, which is now endemic, but it still keeps on coming up in the news. I mean, it's the thing that wouldn't go away. Was it like that with the Spanish flu? Remember the Spanish flu? No, we were all dead. We were not here yet.
Right. Yeah.
I guess we weren't dead.
You got it.
You died. Alive yet.
That's basically
it. Spanish flu was like the pandemic. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wonder if after the Spanish flu, okay, Spanish flu goes away, but then, oh, there's a variant of the Spanish flu. Is that what we're still taking vaccines for? Because think about that. Spanish flu is the big pandemic.
Right.
And now we are still getting a flu vaccine every year. I wonder if, so it never went away. It's just, right? Yeah. We've been getting flu shots since we were born, right?
Yeah, now it's just the niche flu.
So now the pandemic hits for COVID.
Yeah.
And now we're getting vaccines. And now we're getting more frequent vaccines. What are you on, Mark? Number four?
Five.
You're on five, so I'm number four. What about you, James?
Wow, four.
James on number one.
Yes. I drank it.
You haven't been sick yet, though. I mean, what's amazing about you is
yeah.
And the reason I ask is I think this is going to be a biannual, in other words, every 6 months, and then it's going to be an annual pretty soon. The guy to ask, of course, is David Dodd. He's our expert. He's the chairman and CEO of GeoVax Labs, their stock symbol GOVX. And if you've been paying attention to this company of late, it's been a really interesting and a wild ride to the good side for David. And David, I got to commend you. Congratulations on the recent success of what's going on there, man. You told us this was going to happen, and it happened, and you're marching the ball down the field there. So congratulations, sir.
There he is.
There he is. Okay. Hey, David, are we to the point now? Let's talk top down. Overall, are we to the point now where we are at the sort of flu vaccine sort of behavior that we're going to have to go through the same with a COVID vaccine every year, in your opinion?
For the broad population, the answer is yes. For the population of individuals who are dealing with compromised immune systems, and that includes people with lupus, a report just came out today that talked about individuals that suffer from lupus. They take immunosuppressive drugs. And unfortunately, those immunosuppressive drugs lessen their ability to mount an antibody response, which means they do not respond to current authorized vaccines. So they fall into that same group of people who have certain immunocompromised conditions. And those are the ones that I continue to discuss For two reasons. One is because there are 10 to 20 million of those people in the United States, and the current vaccines are inadequate. So there's a major medical critical need for those individuals. And secondly, at GeoVax, we specifically have a vaccine in clinical trials in phase two that is specifically being developed to be utilized for people with compromised immune systems or people that suffer from lupus, et cetera. And the reason why is we also incorporate the T cell or the cellular immunity response. And that's important when the antibody side of the immune system is not going to be sufficient. And that's what we're dealing with these populations. So for the majority of individuals, they probably fall into that annual sort of COVID or whatever it'll be, whichever variant will be constructed for that annual year. But there is this other population, which is not insignificant. That's a large population, 255 million or so worldwide, for individuals that have compromised immune systems or they suffer from conditions such as lupus. They're taking immunosuppressive drugs, which means that their ability to appropriately respond from a vaccine isn't going to be there. So they're at risk. And as we talked last time, Evershield, now that CDC has withdrawn the recommendation, so that was a bust for these individuals. People used to say, oh, they're immunocompromised, we'll give them Evershield. Well, it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. What is exciting, though, is when we talk about Zika and we talk about monkeypox and such. Talk about that, because there's some good news on the GeoVax front there.
Well, a couple of things. We recently acquired the rights from the NIH for the vaccine basis, which is, it's three letters, MVA. MVA is the basis of most of our vaccines. And that is the vaccine in and of itself that is currently approved by the FDA and stockpiled for prevention against both smallpox as well as monkeypox. And we've been given the right through this license that we signed with the NIH to be able to develop that all the way through commercialization and distribution. What's very interesting about that is our COVID-19 vaccines and our other vaccines for infectious diseases, it could be, for instance, for Ebola, they all are built on the basis of MVA, which means they also prevent not only against, for instance, COVID-19, if we demonstrate that successfully, they will also prevent against monkeypox and smallpox. So in certain areas of the world, for instance, Brazil, it's endemic. You have monkeypox. And you also have a big problem with COVID-19. One vaccine, it protects for both conditions.
David, the president or the White House announced in the last 48 hours that sometime in May, he's going to declare something about COVID. Is it a, we're out of the woods, we're looking good, you don't have to wear a mask anymore? What's the White House going to lay on us in May?
What they have said is that they will be announcing, I think it's May the 11th, if I'm not mistaken, that the public health emergency no longer exists. What the implication of that is that the emergency use authorization for products such as Evershield and others that had come out, vaccines as well as therapies, will no longer be able to be approved under an EUA. However, for certain populations, again, going back to these populations who have compromised immune systems, who deal with lupus, et cetera, they may still be candidates for that. By and large, it won't change what we're doing on a daily basis. There may be in certain localities, you know, the dropping of certain mandates, et cetera, but that's been occurring anyway.
Hey, David, let's talk about the fact that when you talk about industry standards or recognizable by regulatory authorities, it's pretty interesting to note that the technologies utilized by GeoVax are all well established. And I think that's important because I think there's a lot of fear with vaccinations because of how fast they were developed. And I think, you know, one misnomer was that they rushed to the front of the line with their data, but actually they just skipped to the front of the line because there was a national emergency. But I want to kind of drive that point home that the technologies utilized by GeoVax are well established and are recognized by the regulatory authorities. And I think that's a critical piece of information for validated safety. Am I correct?
That is correct. In fact, the basis of our COVID-19 vaccine, this this virus called MVA is already an authorized or FDA approved vaccine. As I mentioned, it's for the smallpox, it's for monkeypox. We were actually given an exemption by the FDA to not have to complete some of the traditional animal toxicology work that is required of vaccines typically, and that's because FDA is so well recognized as being safe. It's been around in hundreds of thousands of individuals. And so from that standpoint, we do have, we've taken basically, we have somewhat of an advantage of eventually of utilizing a platform that is well recognized by regulatory authorities worldwide. You know, mRNA had never been in humans before until these vaccines. I'm not trying to denigrate mRNA. I think there are some significant benefits there, but there are various side effects that are cropping up that normally would have been identified probably in the clinical trials and as it was rolled out. But basically, we did a risk benefit and felt that we needed to get vaccines out as fast as possible to try and stop what appeared to be an uncontrollable threat.
David Dodd, once again, our authority, smartest guy in the room. Got to get you back in town, pal. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. David Dodd is the chairman and CEO of GeoVax Labs. G-O-V-X is their stock symbol, geovax.com. That's an X at the end there, of course. Go check them out. More Big Biz coming up.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, live from the Loft 100 Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air. 110 million broadcasts home strong worldwide on the American Forces Radio Network as well. Costa, Sully, and the DTC. The day trader Quattro here.
Boom.
Well done. Just like that.
Love it.
Literally my favorite guest is with us now. And I was talking about him. I was with a bunch of family office guys. Family office is when you have multi-generational family wealth and you have an investment office that invests the money for your family.
Right. Okay?
And sometimes... if I get approached with a deal or two or whatever, and I approach these guys and say, hey, what do you think? And I was mentioning John Rood's business, and everybody's jaw dropped immediately.
He's doing what?
Yes, exactly. Momentus, of course, is in the business of spacecraft, and it's in the business of delivering customers' satellites into space on their satellite.
Yeah.
And this is just the tip of the spear, and he's such a great guy, and I just love having him on the air with us. John, great to see you, pal. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be with you. Really great to see you and Costas again.
You must get the same reaction every time that you tell somebody who hasn't really heard of this or is, you know, may have read about it somewhere but hasn't really understood what's going on. It's got to be the same reaction, right?
It is. Usually people kind of do that RCA dog thing, cock their head a little and say, really? Interesting. And I don't mean in that British way when they say interesting, it's not good. They genuinely are really interested. And it's a new thing because we're enabling a different type of the space economy with a different way of operating.
Yeah, I think when you think in terms of really our new paradigm shift on how we're all doing business, it's about faster, it's about safer, and this is and space is the place where you sort of can lock everything in. And I think you've proven that. Talk to us about for some of the people who haven't heard your story before, talk about just high level what you guys are up to and what you've been doing since last year.
Well, we're a space in space infrastructure and transportation company. So basically we want to be the UPS of space, where we're going to take your cargo to the right destination at the right time, and in other cases, support it over a period of time with logistics support, which in space is called hosted payloads, where you provide power, you orient the spacecraft, maybe the communications and other operation of the payload that's aboard that you're hosting. And so we're already doing that. And then we have on our product roadmap the plans to add a robotic arm to service satellites in space, to reposition them, and to remove them at the end of their useful life. And debris and managing collisions is becoming a bigger and bigger issue because there's so many more satellites being launched. Last year, I don't know if folks know this, there was a record number of launches done, up 33% over the preceding year globally. And then the number of satellites went up 36% for the preceding year. So there were over 2,300 satellites put in orbit. Now that's projected to really pick up. The GAO, or Government Accountability Office, saying there'll be 58,000 satellites in orbit by 2030.
I was just looking up on my iPhone. He totally busted me. I was just looking up on my iPhone how many satellites were launched.
Oh my God.
I was just gonna try to come around third base and
it's rush hour.
So the moral of the story is you're at the right place at the right time. And what's interesting is it's got to be bigger than you first anticipated, John, because every time I look at your news releases, then I have to look at your industry. It's like the internet was when we first were figuring out what the internet was, 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, we're one of the early movers trying to be right at that forefront of enabling this new kind of technology to operate. And in some cases, the market in front of us is still forming up and developing, but we're seeing it and we're seeing the growth. We've just got to hang in there and continue to develop our technology. Just in the last time, since the last time I was on the show, Euroconsult, which is one of the biggest market estimators in the world, they released an estimate to say the space economy is going to grow to be $737 billion within a decade. And they're just the latest. And there's a whole bunch of others that have put out similar numbers. But then operationally, we continue to have progress. So, what's shown behind my shoulder are images of what the spacecraft would look like, does look like, and a satellite, a representative satellite it released. But our current mission that we launched on January 3rd is in space now. We're performing this kind of activity. The video here shows the launch. In the most recent case, we launched from Cape Canaveral, and it shows what a representative Vigoride would look like there, stacked up with a whole bunch of other satellites. So on that launch, there were over 100 satellites that SpaceX put in orbit, and we were on board with some more to carry ourselves. And so we're up there operating. What's going to be shown here in the video is the satellite, our Vigoride orbital service vehicle, releasing from the launch vehicle. What's shown there is now the Vigoride that's going to release. And then it unfolded its solar arrays. They're oriented. They're tracking the sun correctly. And they are providing power to the spacecraft. That's operating normally. It's powering itself, discharging. And we're in regular communications with it. Now, what's being shown here now is the ability to take the cargo, to take your payloads, in other words, be the UPS truck of space, and deliver them to exactly where they want to be in custom orbits. And what will happen over time is we're going to have to reposition them and adjust them. For example, SpaceX has put in place a whole series of satellites. Here it's showing going to a different altitude or inclination. But they've got thousands of Starlink satellites. But just in a roughly two-year period, they had to maneuver 26,000 times to avoid debris and other things that are in space. And that's really accumulating. You know, last Friday, there was a case that was publicized where an old Russian satellite came, according to Leo Labs, a tracking company, came within 6 meters, wow, about, you know, not quite a first down, like, you know, third and six,
but on still
football, from hitting, jeez, another object, hitting a defunct rocket body, which would have created hundreds of thousands of pieces of debris.
Yeah, and we're talking about millions of dollars as far as damage goes, potentially, with respect to customers, lost productivity, and a number of other things. I got a question for you, John. When is the next launch, and what are you putting up, or as much as you can tell us, how many things are you throwing up there this time? And because it kind of tells us you're building your customer base. And are we looking at repeat customers very soon?
We do have repeat customers. So on our first launch that we did in May of last year, we flew 8 satellites total that we put in orbit from 2 different mechanisms, 7 from the Vigoride vehicle. And one of the customers that was on board there has already signed a repeat follow-on contract, and we plan to begin launching them later this year. Our next launch is scheduled for April. SpaceX, again, doing a rideshare launch. And so we'll be one of the payloads along with them. And so it's targeted now for mid-April. And as a matter of fact, that vehicle, we have one in orbit now that we're still in the process of commissioning, and we're going to operate for nominally 6 months to support a Caltech-hosted payload. But then the next vehicle is already in production, and will need to be shipped to the launch base in under a month is our schedule. So it's in a pretty advanced state of manufacture. And then we have another one after that that we intend to launch later in the year. And so we've got this regular cadence where we're going to be producing them. And on the launch targeted in April, we've got about half a dozen customer satellites that we'll take to space. And they have a variety of different missions that they're going to perform.
John, we got to get you to San Diego, or we get to come out there for the next launch. Come on, man. All right, buddy. I will talk to you very soon. John
Rudy. Thanks for having me.
Momentous, MNTS.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's a brave new world in media with hundreds of video and audio channels to choose. Have you noticed? There's a catch. Paying more for what once was part of my entertainment package. Biz TV is free on YouTube. Real stories about real entrepreneurs. A fresh look at the game of business. Hey Siri, get me Biz TV on YouTube. It's free. Did I say it's free? Biz TV, now streaming on YouTube. Hey Siri, get me Biz TV on YouTube or visit biztv.com.
Expanding their musical prowess. Can you name the band or can you name the singer?
God. The Blues Brothers.
Spencer Davis Group.
Thank
Little
you.
Stevie Winwood.
Ah!
Thank you very much. Where that's from. That's from spending all my life in a radio studio. I mean, seriously, right? Spencer Davis Group, Little Stevie Winwood. Hey, Ben Aris is here. Ben Aris is the chairman and co-founder of Rival. And their stock symbol is RYVL. RVYL. I knew that. Somebody's got to can Greg Totter off here because somebody fire him. RVYL. Well, let me tell you, I got an excuse because you changed your stock symbol in your name. Great to have you. And you are the person who is the only person that's actually successfully described to us how blockchain and digital currency works and why payment systems for such are going to be the on-ramp for all of us. It's not really the investing in. In fact, I was thinking about you the other day as I was talking about you to someone. I realized that it's not a function of us investing in digital currencies that's going to make us money. It's when we realize that the on-ramp to digital currency is really payment systems.
Correct.
Don't you think? Now, what do you do when you go to a grocery store? You get your stuff, and what's the other? Zip, zip, you're out, right?
Yeah, tap and go.
I would already say the same $40 in your wallet, which is about what I have in my wallet at all times, is the same $40 I've had since the last time I went to a hotel, because that's the last time I had to tip somebody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right? You go to a restaurant, you're tipping them this way, yeah. Right?
Right.
I don't know any other opportunities you got to tip people, but hotel, valet, restaurant. Other than that, though, we're paying for everything else through automatic payment systems as well as electric. So talk about that, because you guys really are one of the first and safest ways to pay. And I think that the real on-ramp to digital currency is how we're going to pay with digital currency, correct?
Correct, yeah. And even, you know, when you mentioned the tipping, even tipping now in all sorts of venues is done digitally. The great extreme of that is a performance in a gentleman's club with a tattoo that has a QR code on it, and
what?
You just point your phone and tip.
Mike's trying to look innocent here, but somehow I realize you know this. So
even that is possible.
I got a barcode here. if I were a valet. That's hair.
Yeah, just, why not?
Right? Or
what? QR.
QR?
That's right.
Yeah.
You can do it with a sticker or with a tattoo.
Talk about the difference in when we're talking about paying for goods and services in dollars versus digital and the current infrastructure and the blockchain. Talk about the merging of it, but talk about the differences right now and the problems right now.
We see essentially the same problems that we forecasted years ago. Those were defined in my white paper 2 years ago in saying that we need these basic principles to be in every payment system, mm-hmm. especially digital systems. Number one, full backup in fiat for every digital system. Number two, these funds, these custodial funds, cannot be utilized in any other fashion other than for custody. Number three, these have to be verified by a third-party entity.
What you're describing is digital currency and the blockchain.
Correct, absolutely. And what's the difference between digital currency and stablecoin? They both describe the same thing. They both reference the same underlying value. The only difference is that the standard digital currency that the government is playing with now and other ideas that are floating out there versus stablecoin is the single point of truth, right? That everybody is looking at the same ledger, everybody has the same basic information, nobody can manipulate it. It's write once, read many. This is the basic principle in every custodial system in our view.
And I think what's interesting here is the way it changes the way we do business. Before we let you out of here, Ryvyl is the name of the company. RVYL is the new stock symbol. Of course, Ben Ayers is our guest. He's the chairman and co-founder. It's great to have you here. And I want you more often. I wanted you to tell us what you're looking most forward to for the company here in 2023, because lots of stuff, you did a lot of stuff last year. Talk about what's going on this year.
So a lot of things are happening with the company now. First of all, we joined the battle against naked shorts.
We talked see about that early in the program. The biggest threat to our capital markets is this naked shorting and such. And you guys are on that list of
right.
folks that joined that lawsuit. Talk about where that's going.
Yeah. So we did some research recently with a very capable team that we have seen deployed with the Genius and with Cosmos and with other. Players in the entity in the industry. We see trends that are frightening. Mm-hmm. We went back 5 years on our ledger with our stock, both on the OTC and on NASDAQ, and we have identified interesting trends. For short selling, mm-hmm. including naked short selling, of about 43% of all trades on our stock.
Sure.
calculating that to today, that forms about $900 million lost to the company and its investors.
And that's just one, and that's one company.
And that's one company.
Yeah.
And not a large one.
Yeah.
A small one.
Well, with the, and how that translates is not just wealth for investors. It also translates in limiting you as a company, because the perception of new investment coming in is false.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? I mean, they're looking at what you guys can do, and they say, okay, there's a lot of great things happening. Look at the press releases. Things are going well. Why is the price not acting like the news? And this is the problem with any stock under $10 that's suffering through a naked short. And by the way, shorting, once again, you borrow shares from your broker, you sell those shares, you buy them back at a cheaper price, hopefully the stock is going down, and you keep the difference to make a profit.
Yeah,
naked shorting, is you don't borrow the shares, you just sell them, and you get the money back. But here's the deal. When you trade stock either way, you get your cash in 2 days. It's called T+2. It used to be T+3. Broker to broker, though, when they're settling up the borrowed shares, 20 trading days. They're never, ever catching up. It never settles.
Oh, my God.
And the regulators are not in any position. Right. So that's what you guys are doing with Congress here, is saying, hey, look,
right,
you got to stop naked shorting. It can't exist anymore. It's
right.
illegal already, but they've got to do something more about it.
What we're trying to do is get the regulator, and particularly the SEC, to follow up on the existing regulations. So Regulation SHO has a rule called Rule 203B1. Which basically forces or regulates every broker to identify the underlying security for every sale.
So,
and there's only three options.
You got to true up.
Exactly, exactly. It's called the location.
Right.
So you have to locate the underlying security and identify it, code it in the sale transaction.
So if I want to borrow, if I want to borrow 100 shares of Rival to bet against it or short it, you better identify those shares that I'm borrowing.
Right.
Not so just let me sell them.
According to the regulations, you either have to have this stock in your possession to short it,
yeah,
or have a reasonable opportunity to acquire it before you have to present it.
So who's the culpable party? Is it the market maker? Is it the broker dealer? Or is it
the broker dealer? Yeah, I
think so.
It's the broker dealer.
Oh.
So the problem is that broker dealers have a great incentive, and we spoke about it the last time, to basically bend the rules,
because
that's their source of capital.
Because they get commissions.
Exactly.
Right. It's the same reason. It's the same sort of argument that we had with the mortgage-backed securities that caused the financial collapse.
Correct.
2008, 2009. Why did we have mortgage-backed securities? Why were we giving out loans by fogging up a mirror? Because mortgage brokers got a commission.
Exactly.
And then we created derivatives off that. Then they sold it, and the guy who sold it to this. So I've got all these mortgages here that I just funded. I'm going to sell it to the next guy. Well, if I'm going to sell it, I get a commission on it.
Right.
And this guy says, well, I'm going to sell it to a bigger person. Got a commission on that. And,
right.
and this is what perpetuates the problem. And at some point.
But you know what? This is a great example, because the same problem that existed in mortgage-backed securities, where you have a mortgage for $1,000 and a security backed in it for $1,500.
Sure.
Same thing happens here.
Yeah.
Some brokers allowed for a sale of stock that is in a number that is greater than the total shares outstanding, meaning there was never
a
reasonable opportunity to buy back the underlying security.
They loaned out 300% of 100%.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, is why the SEC exists in the first place. Because back in the 20s, they were selling 300% of 100% of Mike's prison hooch alcohol company.
I knew it.
His name is Ben Harris. Rival, RBYL. What's the new website, by the way?
Rival.com.
Rival.com. There you go. Put it on our website. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Good
to
see you, as you
do. Yeah.
More Big Biz coming up. Sully, Costa. Now I got you thinking, huh? Rival to the rescue. See you in a minute. Hey there, Big Biz Show. Did you know, Mike, that we are in 110 million broadcast television homes, and we're also simulcast on radio?
I heard that somewhere.
And one of our radio partners, by the way, is American Forces Radio Network in 175 countries and all the ships at sea.
Love our troops.
Great to have you along. working on a military tour, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. So you might be holding the fort down for a month.
That would be awesome.
Or you head out to entertain the troops with the Sully Band. One of the reasons that I want to talk about American Forces Radio Network is because one of the highest populations of smokers in this country is whom?
Military.
The military. And what's interesting is there was a poll recently done through the FDA to the military asking those of you who smoke, who wants to quit? And I'm just gonna let you guess. Mm-hmm. What do you think the percentage of? Because when you think in terms, let's use another analogy. Let's talk about homelessness, right? Mm-hmm. Not every homeless person doesn't want to have a house.
No, you got the off-grid.
There's about 15% of homeless that are not mentally ill that just want to live outside.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, there are those unfortunate people that have drug addiction or alcohol addiction. And then those people that are just in circumstances like they can't find themselves out. It's tragic. Big problem. Smoking, similarly, has a percentage of people that I'm going to smoke until I think we all have family members in our past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keyword past.
Time.
I think. So what do you think the percentage of?
I'm going to say it's
that want to quit in the military.
I'm going
to
say 85%.
James.
Wow.
What do you think?
45%.
Okay, what do you think?
I was going to say 75.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are, yes? Yeah. Similar?
75%.
66%. Two-thirds of the military who smoke wants to quit. I bring you our good friend Jim Misch from 22nd Century Corporation. Of course, the makers of the VLN and the VLN Menthol King, as what we're talking about, is a bio-agricultural biotechnology company dedicated to improving human health with reduced nicotine tobacco. Jim, does that, I know that doesn't surprise you, but doesn't that tell you who we need to be reaching out to, right?
Yeah, hi guys, it's great to be back.
Great to see you.
Yeah, it's absolutely great to see you as well. Yeah, that's absolutely one of the key demographics that we want to work towards. I mean, as you said, the Pentagon is very concerned about it. It's a health impact for the military, and we have one of the key solutions for it to dramatically reduce the number of sticks smoked per day, if not stop altogether. So definitely one of the key ambitions for the company, and certainly want to do our part for the military.
You know, I talk about 22nd Century Corp every single day on multiple platforms, including social and several other television programs and so on and so forth. One of the number one questions I have, and I've got two big questions for you today, is number one, availability. Talk about again, because it was interesting last year when we first met you, that you were going into sort of a trial marketing basis. Talk about that, where we are now and where we're going in 2023.
Yeah, so just to refresh everyone's memory, we started out in a very small pilot in Chicago, about 150 stores. Then we expanded quickly across Illinois and then Colorado, and now in the four corner states altogether. So five states altogether. That's a part of the aspect. Of course, you've got to move the material through the supply chain, get on the shelves, and we continue to increase the number of points of sale in those five states, you know, on a weekly basis. But it's a matter of, you know, when they reset and everything. So we're moving as aggressively as possible to get the actual products on the shelves in those five states. Now, what we just announced last week is a huge help for those states as well as the remaining ones. And we've just announced a signed deal and agreement between 22nd Century and two of the biggest distributors in the U.S., Core-Mark and E.B. Brown.
Wow.
And that's a huge accelerant for us. Again, not only in those five states, but in the states that we're choosing, the 18 that we're targeting in addition to the five. But right now, it's starting to move faster and faster onto the shelves. No, people have been frustrated. They've been looking for it and trying to find it.
I love this graphic.
I can assure you it's getting on those shelves as quickly as possible.
We always love this graphic because you remember in the 70s, we always saw these graphics in magazines,
yes,
right? And it was always, you know, we're less than the other guy. And it was about, you didn't see the little blue guy to the far right. All
Never.
You saw is the
Never.
Other ones. And you were the orange guy that was competing against the ones to the left, right? Look at VLN, the blue one. Mm-hmm. Jim, here's the second question. And by the way, the name of the company, 22nd Century Group, they are publicly traded, XXII, XXIIcentury.com. Jim, what is the, when you talk about I'm going to call it a treatment program, okay? Because these guys are just, these folks that are smoking, these guys and gals are just smoking these cigarettes as opposed to other combustible cigarettes. What's the off-ramp time? Is there a stated or a projected off-ramp time? Does their life get better immediately? Is there, okay, you do this for a year, or what's the prescribed? I understand there's a doctor, or maybe there is a doctor involved, but what's the prescribed sort of outcome here?
The FDA clinical trials demonstrate that within about 6 to 8 weeks, weeks, not months, but yeah, weeks, you start to see a dramatic reduction. Many a times that's about 2 cartons worth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very similar KPI that we follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, you see, 30, 40% reduction. If you stick with it, it goes up from there, and you end up in the 70, 80% of sticks reduced in the 4 to 5 month time frame. So it's not a long time at all.
Jim, I want to say thank you, because the last time you were in studio, you brought in some samples of the cigarettes, and I think I told you I have a smoker in my life, and I gave them to him. He has used them, and his exact words were, could not taste the difference, could not feel the difference. So thank you for helping me get somebody weaned off of cigarettes and tobacco.
Yeah, testimonials like that, and back up, and you're welcome, by the way, and happy to do so. But testimonials like that are critical to demonstrate that the product actually works. And this is years of clinical science behind it. So the credibility of the product is unlike anything else that's been put onto the marketplace. It really is a tool for reduction and often cessation. And the awareness and education of this can't be more important. So the faster we get that out there, the better for the individuals. Because there's some shocking data. Again, 1,300
sure.
people a day are dying from
wow.
smoking-related illnesses.
Jeez.
And I just heard that over 5,400 youths are initiated to regular combustible cigarettes every day.
Man.
They're starting that habit. Even in this today's world where the knowledge is out there.
Yeah.
So getting VLN out there and having it make an impact is of critical importance.
Can't wait to get you back in town, buddy. Jim Misch, of course, chairman and CEO. 22nd Century Group. XXII is their stock symbol. XXII. Go to XXIIcentury.com. Much more to come tomorrow.